नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयो मुदिरायेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So, continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 28, text number 18. Jnanam viveko nigamastapascha Jnanam viveko nigamastapascha Pratyakshamat aitihyam atanumanam Pratyaksham aitiyam atanumanam Adyantayorasya yadeva kevalam Kalascha hetuscha tad eva madhye Jnanam. Transcendental knowledge. Viveka, discrimination. Nigama, the scripture. Tapa, austerity. Cha, and. Pratyaksham, direct perception. Aitiyam, the historical accounts of the Puranas. Atta, and. Anumanam, logic. Adi, in the beginning. Antayo, and the end. Asya, of this creation. Yat, which. Eva, indeed. Kevalam, alone. Kala, the controlling factor of time. Cha, and. Hetu, the ultimate cause. Cha, and. Tat, that. Eva, alone. Madhye, in the middle. Translation. Real spiritual knowledge, genuine spiritual knowledge, okay, is based on the discrimination of spirit from matter. And it is cultivated by scriptural evidence, austerity, direct perception, reception of the Puranas, historical narrations, and logical inference. The absolute truth, which alone was present before the creation of the universe, and which alone will remain after its destruction, is also the time factor and the ultimate cause. Even in the middle stage of this creation's existence, the absolute truth alone is the actual reality. Purport. Material scientists and philosophers are desperately searching for the ultimate material cause or principle, which is described here as kala, the time factor. The material process of cause and effect takes place entirely within a sequence of time. In other words, the time factor is the motivating impetus for material cause and effect. This time factor is a manifestation of the super soul, the form of the Supreme Lord that pervades and supports the cosmic manifestation. The method for acquiring knowledge is scientifically described here. And those who are serious, reasonable, such scholars will take advantage of the transcendental epistemology revealed here by the Lord. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatri Patam Hambande Sri Guru Dinotarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitaram Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jnanam Viveko Nigamastapascha Pratyakshamaityam Athanumanam Ajyantayorasya Yadeva Kevalam Kalascha Hetuscha Tadeva Madhye Jnanam, transcendental knowledge. Viveka, discrimination. Nigama, the scripture. Tapa, austerity. Pratyaksham, direct perception. And Aitiyam, the historical accounts of the Puranas. And Anumana, logic, they all point to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada taught us, what is knowledge? Transcendental knowledge. It means to know what is spirit, what is matter, and who is the controller of both these energies. That's knowledge. To know what is spirit, what is matter, and to know who's controlling those two energies, that is knowledge. And what is intelligence? Intelligence means acting in that knowledge. So, to know what is spirit and what is matter takes discrimination. We have to be able to discriminate between one and the other. Prabhupada said, if you don't know what is gold, then you will be cheated. They'll sell you brass and tell you that it's gold. But if you know what is gold, you'll say, that's not gold, that's brass, don't cheat me. So, we can't remain in ignorance. We have to come to the platform of knowledge if we want to go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, if we like it here in the material world, then we can remain in ignorance, no problem. But if you're serious about returning back to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Lord Chaitanya has planted a seed in your heart, the Bhakti Lata Beej. It is the seed of the devotional creeper. And he's given us instructions how to water that seed so that it thrives and grows. And that's through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Nine processes of watering the devotional creeper. However, Lord Chaitanya described himself as a gardener, by the way. Mali. Mali means gardener. So he's the transcendental gardener, planting seeds in everyone's heart, and he's training us up to also be gardeners. So when you're a gardener, after you plant the seeds, what else do you have to do? Sorry? Well, okay, we spoke about that. You're watering Then what do you have to do? Pull out the weeds. What happens if you don't pull out the weeds? Sorry? You don't get a good plant. The weeds will take over. They'll dominate. So we have one plant, the Bhakti Lata Bij, and how many weeds are in the heart? So many. What are those weeds? They're called in Sanskrit anarthas, the unwanted things, which are categorized as six main features known as the six enemies. Ripu, Ripu means enemy. The six enemies are lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. Kam means lust. Krod means anger. Lob means greed. Madda means pride. Moha means illusion. And Matsarya means envy. Now if we look at those six words in Sanskrit, the word that stands out is madda. Madda means intoxicated. And it means pride. Why would they use the same word, intoxicated, for pride in Sanskrit? Because in English we have two separate words. So why is it the same word in Sanskrit? Anybody have an idea? Yeah, you're on the right track. Yeah, you're on the right track. It's the same concept. Because if our constitutional position is to be humble, humility, das, 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 under das, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, then the furthest thing away from humility is pride. When you become intoxicated, when you come under the influence of illusion, you forget your eternal position and you become puffed up or intoxicated with your own position and you become very proud. I am the greatest of all time. G-O-A-T. They're the goat. The greatest of all time. So when you're so puffed up with pride, it's as far away as you can possibly get from your actual constitutional position of being humble. So that is the state of intense intoxication. Now there's another word in Sanskrit that you all know. And that is hang on a second. When you're this old, sometimes you can't grasp the word. What's the Sanskrit word for hang on a second. My mind's not going there. It doesn't want to go there. Buddha taught Ahimsa, thank you. Okay. So ahimsa means ahimsa, non-violence. Okay? Ahimsa, non-violence. So the word himsa means violence. It also means envy. So why is envy violence? Same word in Sanskrit. Different word. Of course, Sanskrit has many words. Himsa is violence, but so is matsarya. But in this case, himsa is violence because envy exhibits its violence in three different phases. There's mental violence, when you're just thinking negatively about another person or another devotee. There's verbal violence when you speak negatively about another devotee. And then, of course, there's physical violence when you kick them out of the temple and say, you're in Maya. That's another thing Prabhupada told us. If you say someone else is in Maya, it means you're in Maya. Did you know that? If you think that someone else is in Maya, means you are in Maya, Prabhupada told us. So, envy is violence, mental, verbal, or physical. So, this verse, Krishna is saying that we have to really understand what is true transcendental knowledge. We have to be able to discriminate between what is actually spirit and what is actually matter. And how do we do that? By studying the Shastra, by performing austerities, tapa, austerities, pragyaksha, by direct perception, and aikiyam, reception or acception, accepting the Purana's historical narrations, and using our common sense, logical inference. This is what Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. Now, Lord Chaitanya added one more thing. What did Lord Chaitanya add to that list?
Chanting
of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Because in Kali Yuga, this is the most powerful mantra. This mantra can destroy all of the doshas, the negative aspects, all the faults of this Kali Yuga. But he broke open the storehouse of love of God, right? You remember that?
Yes.
He broke it open. It was locked. He smashed the lock, threw open the doors, and he distributed love of Godhead liberally to everybody. How did he do that? Sorry?
By
Sankirtan movement, by giving them the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, Lord Chaitanya took the Krishna Prema, he broke open the storehouse, took the Krishna Prema and put it into the mantra, so it became the Prema mantra, and then he said, chant this mantra. And you will get Krishna Prema. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Now, how did Lord Chaitanya put the Krishna Prema into the Maha Mantra? Okay. That's by whose power or whose mercy. But what did he actually do? That's what I meant. How did he do it? He did it the exact same way that a cook puts the sabji in the samosa. So you see the samosa, you don't know that there's something nice inside there until you bite into it. Similarly, we give the Maha Mantra, but we don't taste the Krishna Prema till we bite into it, until we take it very seriously and deeply with full care and attention. Then we can experience and taste that Krishna Prema. So the Maha Mantra became the Prema Mantra, the mantra by which you can attain or experience or reawaken or revive. Prabhupada used various terms. reawaken, revive our dormant or our sleeping Krishna consciousness. Our dormant love of God. It's there in everyone's heart. Knock, knock, knock. Anybody home? But we're sleeping. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. Koto nidra jao, Maya. Go, Maya. How long will you remain sleeping before you finally wake up and say, jao? Go. Go, Maya. I'm not interested. Unfortunately, we pronounce it wrong. We say, Koto nidra jai Maya. All glories to Maya that I remain sleeping. And it's funny on one hand, but the thing is, when you say those words, it's an imprint on the brain. If you pronounce it wrong, if you say the wrong thing, that's what goes in. You have to, jao means go, not jai, which means all glories. So, Krishna is saying here that the absolute truth alone was present before the creation of the universe. In other words, before the creation, there was nothing else but the absolute truth. And after the universe is destroyed, after its destruction, there will be nothing else but the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. And even in the middle stage of the creation's existence, it's only the absolute truth that is the actual reality. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains his definition of what is illusion and what is absolute reality. He says that which is temporary. Temporary means beginning, a middle, and an end. That which is temporary is not real. And that which is eternal is real. So here Krishna is saying the same thing, that the absolute truth alone is the actual reality, because it was there before the creation, it's there after the creation, and in the middle it's always there. But the creation had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It was temporary. It is not it's not reality. It's a fact, but it's not reality. And here, Krishna also refers to the time factor. It's the time factor that destroys everything. The time factor destroys everything. Krishna says that I am that time factor. Time I am, destroyer of all the worlds. In Bhagavad Gita. Time I am. So, if we really want to understand genuine, real, transcendental knowledge, then we have to follow the path chalked out by the great acharyas coming in parampara, and especially since Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came specifically for certain agenda, and one of those agendas was to spread the Yuga Dharma, and another one of those agendas was to bring the fallen conditioned souls back to the lotus feet of who? Sri Krishna. Because we had forgotten who?
Sri Krishna.
We'd forgotten him. We were no longer interested in him. We had some vague conception of him. God. 2 or 3 hours a day on a Sunday. Everybody goes to church and we worship God. Now, how many hours are there in a week? 168. So 3 hours out of 168. What type of a commitment is that? Now, some people, they worship the Lord 5 times in a day. And then there are other people who worship the Lord moment to moment to moment to moment. That is a teaching coming from Lord Chaitanya. 168 hours in a week, you should be engaged in the Lord's service and worshiping Him 168 hours. No time for Maya. So we have to be able to discriminate between what is spirit and what is matter. What is real and what is temporary. What is the actual reality and what is false. And how do we do that? How do we do that?
Nine eyes.
Sorry?
We follow the nine.
We follow the nine paths of devotional service. We follow those. But you can follow them and still be asleep. In other words, Prabhupada said, I mentioned this yesterday, don't be Krishna unconscious. Mm-hmm. Become conscious. So you have to become conscious. We can bumble along in Krishna consciousness, doing all the things without having any understanding, any awareness of the Absolute Truth. That's okay. On one level, it's better than being in total Maya, but it's not going to get you to the goal. If the goal is to reestablish a loving, lost relationship, then being unconscious is not going to do it. That may take you half the way there. So to get all the way there, you have to be conscious. And so here, we have to use our discrimination by studying the scripture, Nigama, the scriptures. All our tapa, all our austerity has to be for the benefit of the Supreme Personality of God in order to understand Him. Pratyaksham, so that we can have direct perception. Direct perception, pratyaksha. This is very important. Krishna focuses on this in Bhagavad Gita too. He explains to Arjuna that the knowledge I am giving you is Rajavijam. It's the topmost knowledge. Rajavijya Rajaguyam. It's the most confidential knowledge. Pavitram. It's the purest knowledge. Uttamam. It is the most transcendental knowledge. Pratyakshavagamam dharmam. And you can understand this dharma through direct perception within the heart. And then what happens? Susukam kartum. Everything you do becomes joyful. But not just sukam, joyful. Susukam. Extremely joyful. So the proof that you've actually had a direct experience, pratyaksha, pratyakshavagamam dharmam, that you actually are directly perceiving Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, is that everything you do is susukam, joyful. Prabhupada once said in a class, devotees are always jolly. Jolly does not mean that we're not serious. We're very serious, but we're jolly. We're very serious about spiritual life, but we're jolly. Use the word jolly. Susukam. We're joyful. And then he said, morose means Maya. Morose means Maya. Morose means you're not connected to Krishna. That's why you're in Maya. If you're not connected, you're either connected or you're not connected. If you're connected, you're blissful. Susukam Kartam. Everything you do becomes blissful. If you're not connected, you're morose, unhappy, lamenting, angry, lamenting. Susukam Kartam Avyayam. And that joy, that bliss, that ananda is never ending. It's inexhaustible. It's ever increasing. So that's the proof. That's the test that we are directly perceiving Krishna, pratyaksha. So here we are. We come every day into the temple and we're directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But are we directly perceiving Him? Are we connected? Or is it 1%, 10%, 50%? What? Are we making advancement? Am I connected? If I'm blissful, that's a good sign. If I come into the temple room and I start talking to them, telling them what I've done, telling them what, you know, how I'm so happy to be engaged in their service, in other words, establishing a relationship and carrying on and continuing a relationship, that means direct perception. Another thing Prabhupada told us was, to the extent that you see the deity as marble or brass, to that extent, you're in illusion. So pratyaksha, we're meant to have direct connection, direct perception that we're dealing with Krishna. It's not theoretical. This book is not meant to be theory. However, if you accept it only as theoretical, in other words, you don't become living truth, you don't apply it and come to the platform that it's talking about, then it just remains theoretical for you, but not for somebody else. So you're the architect of your own destiny. Direct perception. And how can we understand this deeper and deeper? Through Aikyam, the historical accounts of the Puranas, the Shastras. How many people here are reading Krishna book? By reading Krishna book, you're establishing a loving relationship with Krishna. Because to know Him is to love Him. I asked this question before, but it's always a good question. Can you love somebody you don't know? Can you love somebody you don't know? Well, let's analyze that. Can you love somebody you don't know? How many people here remember when they were a teenager, they had a picture of their favorite either movie star or singer on the wall, and they were nuts about that person. Every song that came out, they were just, wow, and every movie or whatever. Who remembers that? No, you don't know that person. You're just getting a perception of what's being presented, but you don't really know the person as a person. All you know is that how he is presenting his art. But behind the artistic presentation is the actual person. So that actual person we don't know. And our adulation is not love. All it is some kind of worship. But it's not love. Why? Because it's a one-way street. That person has no conception that you even exist. Even though every time you come into your room and you see Michael Jackson, Jai, St. Michael, Kija. But he doesn't have a clue that you exist. It's a one-way street. Now, do you want to have that kind of a relationship with Krishna?
No.
Be careful that you don't have that kind of relationship with Krishna. You want it to be reciprocation. So now, I'm going to reveal to you how to begin your reciprocal relationship with Krishna.
Should I continue?
So, Prabhupada did not like that we treated Krishna as an order supplier. I put in my order and he supplies. That's how most people approach God. And Prabhupada gave the example of, you know, praying to God, please give me our daily bread, give me this, give me that, take care of this problem for me, solve this problem for me, arrange my marriage, give me a good job, let me pass the exam, whatever it is. You're praying to Krishna, you're ordering him, and you want him to supply. But you do it in a very humble way, as if you are loving him. But actually we're ordering, I want this, 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 and this. But we put on this act of how devotional we are. My dear Lord, please do this for me. And when it happens, we say, wow, Krishna reciprocated. And if it doesn't happen, he didn't reciprocate. Maybe he's not there. Maybe God doesn't exist after all. But if you really want to establish a relationship with Krishna, we don't pray like that. What we do is we say, my dear Lord Sri Krishna, there's this great difficulty in my life, and I know that I can't overcome it by myself. So I'm approaching your lotus feet that you help me overcome this. And in return, I want to do something for you, and I want to do this for you. So your prayer is, you're going to have a, you want Krishna to do something for you, and you want to do something for Krishna. Is Krishna going to be more attracted to that? What do you think? Why? Sorry? Because it's a reciprocation. Krishna, oh, you want to do something for me also? Now that's a relationship. It's not just take, 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 take. My dear Lord Krishna, if you give me a child, I promise to raise him as a devotee. I'll take him to the temple. I'll teach him Bhagavad Gita. You know, like that. So a childless woman can pray like that. My dear Lord Krishna, if you solve this difficulty I'm going through with my parents, I promise I'll go out and distribute 100 Bhagavad Gitas. You have to make it interesting for Krishna. You want to do something for him. So when you're an infant, the mother or the father always experiences the young child, gimme, 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 taking all the time. Then one day that child comes to the mama and says, I want to give this flower to you. And the mother's heart melts. Why is that? Because he's reciprocating now. It's not just taking, not a one-way street. He's reciprocating the love. And if we don't reciprocate Krishna's love, then how are we going to establish a relationship with him? So for millions and millions of years, millions and millions of living entity pray to God, give me this, give me that. Order supplier. Just think about it. Out of all those millions and millions of living entities, if you pray, my dear Lord, if you could help me in this regard, I promise to do this for you. But what you do is, the next higher level is you don't wait for Krishna to do it for you first, and then I'll do for you. You do it first. You go out and distribute those 100 Bhagavad Gitas first. Now Krishna's trapped, you know. Wow. He lived up to his part of the bargain. I've really got to live up to mine now. You see? This is how you establish a loving relationship. Krishna becomes obliged to the devotee. And Krishna loves to be obliged to the devotee. He's happy. So we prayed for something. I need this in my life, whatever it is. And I'm going to do this for you, Krishna, as a reciprocation. And I do my part first. And now Krishna's... what's he going to do? Now the ball is in his court, as they say in tennis. The ball is in Krishna's court. So, this whole concept of establishing a relationship with Krishna, it has to be real. We actually have to do that. And who's guiding us is the spiritual master. But he's guiding us to our relationship with Krishna. The spiritual master is described as the transparent Vaya Media. You know that? Transparent Vaya Media. That when you see him, you see Krishna. The example is given of a window. The glass is the transparent Vaya Medium. When you look through a window, you see the trees and the ocean or whatever it is beyond. No one looks at a window and just sees the glass. Let me just finish this. So the Guru is the transparent Vaya Media. He's bringing to you the teachings, the eternal teachings, of how you can reestablish your relationship with Krishna. And the reason he's doing that is because he's already established his relationship with Krishna. Now he wants you to establish your relationship with Krishna. And that is called Krishna consciousness in English. Now what is it called in Sanskrit? Krishna Bhavanamrita. Bhava means your emotions or your mood, your feelings. And Amrita means the nectar. So instead of just Krishna consciousness, which is kind of dry in English, Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectarian feelings and moods you have for Krishna. Is that sweeter? In Sanskrit it's much sweeter, isn't it? It comes alive in Sanskrit. So it's not just we're conscious of Krishna, but bhavanamrita. We have a loving mood and we're experiencing the nectar of that loving mood. Krishna bhavanamrita sambha. What was your point, Prabhu?
My point was there is only one person who sees the glass. You see, nobody sees the glass. There is one person who sees the glass.
Who is it?
The only person who just sees the glass is the window cleaner.
Oh, the window cleaner. Very intelligent. So you can either become a devotee or a window cleaner. That is the conclusion. Choice is always ours. But the guru would rather be you experience his bhavanamrita, you know, and establish your relationship with Krishna. And one of my godbrothers, Ram Bhadra Prabhu, who is the temple president of New York Temple, there was, when Gaur Govinda Maharaj left this world, then there was a gathering of devotees. They have a function on a certain day. This was the 11th day. There was a great grand function where everyone came and gave their eulogies and glorified him and spoke about his wonderful service that he'd done. And then big feast for everyone like this. They do the yajnas and everything. So everyone made their offerings, but Ram Bhadra, in my opinion, gave the best offering of all. And this is what he said. Because Gaur Govinda Maharaj left in Prabhupada's centennial year, right? 100th year of Prabhupada's, since Prabhupada's appearance day. So Ram Bhadra, when he got up and spoke, he said, this is the year where everyone is fully conscious of Prabhupada. And we're trying to do something very special for Prabhupada. We're taking sankalpa, we're making promises and vows that I want to do this for Prabhupada, I want to do that for Prabhupada. And everyone wants to give the best gift for Prabhupada. But Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he gave the best gift of everybody. He went back home, back to Godhead, and said happy birthday in person to Prabhupada. That's the best gift you can ever give to your spiritual masters, to go back home, back to Godhead, and become embraced by Sri Krishna. That's the whole reason that he's taking your karma, initiating you and taking your karma, so that he can make sure that you are fixed on the path back to home, back to Krishna. If you take Krishna out of the equation, then you've spoiled the whole thing. And we've seen this. Not only is it in Shastra, but I've seen this. We have seen this, that in the past, in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there were some spiritual masters in the past who were not the transparent Vaya media. And their disciples only worshipped them. And I had a friend, her name is Anuradha. She's a brilliant painter. She used to chant 64 rounds a day. She had a system. Get up at 2 a.m., chant your first 16 rounds before Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, before class, you chant your second 16 rounds. During the day, you chant your next 16 rounds. And before you take rest, you chant your final 16 rounds. Break it up like that. So she went to Sweden, and the devotees noticed that she was chanting all you do is chant all day and all night. Yes, I'm chanting 64 rounds. 64 rounds. You're only supposed to chant 16. They actually got in her case. You're only supposed to chant 16. And she said, well, I'm trying to establish, you know, connection with Krishna. Krishna, you don't know Krishna. All we know is the guru. I'm not going to mention his name. We don't know Krishna. We only know our guru. Well, so they were not very nice to her. Can you imagine? You're giving your life to Krishna, chanting 64 rounds, doing your service, and then everyone's on your case. You don't know Krishna. It's bogus. So of course she left. But what happened? 10 years later, he blooped. He fell into complete Maya. And what happened to all those disciples? They also blooped. Because they had no relationship with Krishna. Their whole relationship was with this person. And when he blooped, most of them also blooped. And that whole zone was decimated. But if you have a relationship with Krishna, then you're on solid ground. Because no one joined this movement to become connected to anybody else except Krishna. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We preach to people, Krishna is God, and you're whole goal of your life is to be connected to him. And then somehow I get sidetracked, and now I'm only connected to this person here who's my guru, and I forget about Krishna. And then when he bloops, I also bloop. That's one case, but I've seen it in other cases where spiritual masters leave, they go back into Maya and take most of their disciples with them, because they were not the transparent Vaya media. So here Krishna is saying that before the creation, he alone was there, the absolute reality. At the end, when it's all finished, he alone is there, the absolute reality. And in the middle, he alone is the absolute reality. And that's what the whole parampara system is trying to connect us to. So let's take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Let's take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books. Let's take shelter of devotional service. And let's do it consciously. Full of awareness. Not unconscious. Not Krishna unconscious, but Krishna conscious. And if you can develop the bhavanamrita, Krishna bhavanamrita, if you can taste the nectar of that loving mood that you have for Krishna, then you're making advancement. Unfortunately, the English language, Krishna conscious, just become conscious of Krishna. The whole mood, the bhavanamrita, is not there. But that's the fault of English, not the fault of anybody else. Bhavanamrita, the bhava, the mood, the feeling, the emotion, and amrita, the nectar that you experience when you connected that emotion to Krishna. And we all have experienced bhavanamrita. Who remembers when you were a teenager, your first love? You were completely nuts over that person. Someone mentioned the name, just hearing the name of that first love. So we have experienced that, but not for Krishna. Now let's experience it for Krishna. Okay? Good idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Panditji.
I just wanted to say, because of your background, I think when you say a prayer to Krishna, rather than saying, could you help me with this and all,
rather than make it a one-way street.
Just go here and just say, what can I do to Krishna? Don't ask for anything else, and be rest assured that Krishna will take care of all your needs anyway. You serve Krishna, and Krishna will do that automatically.
Okay, let's see. Everybody understand what he's saying? Now, is that a higher understanding? Let's analyze it, okay? So, let's give the analogy of the mother and the child. Child never comes to the mother and says, can you help me, can you do this? Just struggles on his own. And the mother comes, why don't you ask me? I want to help you. I want to help you. You please ask. It gives her so much joy to help him. And he's not asking, and she feels frustrated. You understand the point?
Yeah.
If we don't approach Krishna, it's like Shantaras. Yeah, Krishna's there, but I'm not going to disturb him. I'm just going to carry on eating grass, you know. We want to establish a relationship, and Krishna's so happy because we're toddlers in devotional service. We're just toddlers. We can't even stand on our own two feet. Maya can sweep us away at any moment. So if the toddler says, Krishna, help me, you think Krishna is not overjoyed? After millions and millions of births, you never said a word to him, and now you're saying, Krishna, help me. Yes. That's why Shastra says, if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 100 towards you. But I'm not going to take that one step for Krishna. I don't want to disturb him. I mean, what am I, in Mahabhagavat? I'm such an advanced platform? Let's get real. Okay, let's act on the platform that we're really on. We're toddlers, and we need that help from Krishna.
I'm not able to need the help of Krishna. We know what help we need. If we go to him and just ask him, can we serve you? We're automatically serving ourselves.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. That's one way of looking at it. Well, here's a true story. My godbrother, Ishan Prabhu, he told me this story. He was in England in 1969 in London when some of our devotees were meeting the Beatles and doing fantastic service. And he was thinking, I'm not really doing anything. So he went to Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to do something wonderful for Krishna. You please give me some service that I can do for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, he looked at him and said, no. So then Ishan was thinking, maybe I didn't explain myself properly. Prabhupada didn't understand me. So he went into this whole explanation how these devotees were doing wonderful service for Krishna. I also want to do wonderful service for Krishna. So you please give me that service that I can do that would be wonderful for Krishna. And again, Prabhupada said, no. And Ishan became bewildered. And Prabhupada, seeing the bewilderment on his face, said, what do you want to do for Krishna? Prabhupada didn't tell the others to go meet the Beatles, to do this, to do it. This is what they wanted to do for Krishna. So he said to Ishan, what do you want to do for Krishna? How do you want to establish your relationship with Krishna? You have to establish your own relationship with Krishna. Supposing it's your birthday, and I go to your wife and say, I want to give him a gift. You tell me what to give him. She says, no, you give from your own heart. Give what you want. No, you tell me what to give. No, you whatever from your own heart. No, I don't want to give from my heart. You tell me what to give. But if I give from my own heart, is it not more sweet? I'm trying to establish a relationship. So let's say that I didn't do it. I didn't go and buy something from my own heart to give you. She said, okay, he needs socks. So I buy some socks and say, happy birthday. My wife told you, your wife told me you needed socks. Okay, that's nice. But what if someone, they buy some nice colored paper and paints and they do make a beautiful card and they come up with their own poem and say, I want to give you this for your birthday. Isn't that sweeter? It came from their own heart. So that's what we want to do for Krishna. We want to give him the sweetest thing from our own heart. Okay, in the beginning, we don't know how to do devotional service. So the spiritual master says, okay, do like this, do like that, do like this, do like that. But at what point do we go beyond that to the higher level? Am I always going to stay on that level? It's up to you. It's your choice. You can do. But how is that establishing your own relationship with Krishna? Because our philosophy says that each and every one of us has a unique individual relationship with Krishna. It's eternal. And Krishna doesn't have that relationship with anyone else. And we're trying to revive that relationship. How are you going to revive it if you don't open your heart and express it? See what I'm saying? So, okay. Yeah, okay.
I think
perhaps that was the question. Oh, you have, okay.
On Sunday night, you were doing very ecstatic kirtan, and you said you don't want to open your eyes, you don't see Maya. So I want to know what you were thinking at that time.
We don't think. The light switch, you turn the light off, we turn the mind off. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you turn the mind off. For those grihasthas that conceive a child, when they're conceiving a child, they're not thinking. They're just experiencing the love. And that love between the husband and the wife beckons the soul to come into that loving family. It's not, Krishna consciousness is not here. It's not of the intellect. It's down here. It's of the heart. So when Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the essence? What is the, in America they say, the bottom line? What is the essence of dharma? Of our life? Of our existence? So he gave many shlokas. And every shloka he gave Lord Chaitanya said, that's external. Then he said, Sarva dharman paritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami ma suchaha. That is the essence. Surrender everything to Krishna, make him number one, and in reciprocation Krishna will wipe away all the sinful reactions and take you back home, back to Godhead. That is the essence. And Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Go deeper. When I read that, I thought, wow, that's external. Lord Chaitanya considers that shloka to be external. Why? So I became very introspective. Why is this verse external? Why Lord Chaitanya didn't accept it? How many people read Chaitanya Charitamrita? No, well, yeah. You better start reading Chaitanya Charitamrita because it's the most nectar of nectar, and explains the deepest, understandings of Krishna Bhavanamrita. So then, finally, Krishna gave me the answer, because Krishna says, "Surrender to me, and I'll do this for you. So it's not unmotivated. It's motivated. You surrender to me and I'll take away all your sinful reactions. I'll give you moksha. Okay, it's a deal. Let's shake on it. It's a deal. He's offering you a deal. You make me number one and I'll do this for you. Okay, this is what I get out of it. Okay, I'll make you number one. And the more I thought of it, it became not only a deal, it became a bribe. He's bribing us. Make me number one, I'll do this for you. Does Radharani need to be bribed to make Krishna number one? She'll make Krishna number one even if she has to go to hell. That's pure love. So then I understood. Lord Chaitanya said it's external. Then Ramananda Roy said that transcendental knowledge, jnana, mixed with bhakti, that is the essence. Lord Chaitanya says that's external. So then Ramananda Roy, he finally understood. He said, Gyan Shunya Bhakti Sarva Sajyasar. The devotional devotion devoid of any intellectual understanding, that is the essence. And Lord Chaitanya says, Ekahoy Age Koho Ar. Now you're on the right track. Go deeper. And he went deeper and deeper and deeper till he arrived at the gopis. The gopis are simple village girls. They're not Sanskrit scholars. They just love Krishna so much that they're willing to go to hell if it removes Krishna's headache. You know that Leela? How many know that pastime? And Narada Muni said, aren't you afraid this will be an offense? You may go to hell. Oh, we don't care. If solves Krishna's headache and he feels better, we gladly go to hell. That's love. So we have to come from the platform that we're at eventually to the highest level of love and to reestablish and revive our individual, unique, loving relationship with Krishna that we have. And we're depriving Krishna of that pleasure. We're depriving Krishna of that loving exchange that he has with each of us as an individual because we're not giving our love to him. And he's hankering for that relationship with us, and that's why there's so many bribes in Bhagavad Gita. It's full of bribes. Verse after verse after verse. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Deal after deal after deal. And I came to the conclusion, Krishna is really desperate. He's a desperado for our love. He's really desperate for our love. He's hankering for that loving relationship because we, billions and billions of lifetimes, we put him on hold. Not interested. Let me see what I can do here or there. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute reality that exists before the creation, after the creation, and who is the controller of everything, Sarva Shaktiman, he's begging for our love. And we're saying, well, give me some more time, let me think about it. You understand? Do we understand? So let's stop depriving Krishna. Let's reestablish that loving relationship. And we'll both be happy. Krishna will be happy and I'll be happy. So I really have to take it to the next level to satisfy Krishna. That's what he wants. Right? Any other points?
I think you answered my question, but still I always
No, I didn't say he has to because he's independent. He can or cannot, but he'll feel obliged, obligated. That's what I said. He becomes obliged. That's the word that Prabhupada used, also obliged. He didn't say he has to. Krishna is Svarat, he's independent. He doesn't have to do anything. You can cook, you can go out, pick the nicest vegetables, cook them up full of devotion, offer them in the altar, and he doesn't have to accept it. He doesn't have to. You're thinking you're controlling him, now you have to accept it. He doesn't have to. He's completely independent, okay? So just make that clear. Now, what's your question?
No, my question was, I didn't get that clear. So I thought, what if what I'm asking is not good for me? Does that mean that
yeah.
you just
give
it anyway?
Well, no, but you it may not be good for you. He may think that it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's reasonable. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Yeah, he's the supreme controller, he's the supreme knower. Yeah, so he may not reciprocate. But there's another thing you can do. This is another, like yesterday I was talking about, we all have to develop our own strategy. I use the word strategy, but you can use the word plan or procedure or whatever word you like to attract Krishna. So another thing you can do is like this. My dear Lord Krishna, I don't know if what I asked for you approved of or not. I don't know if this is good for me or not. Should I go in this direction or not? So you pray to Krishna, I want to know. Please guide me. And give me a sign. And you say, give me an unmistakable sign so that I'll definitely know that it's you and not my mind. You can pray to Krishna like that. Give me an unmistakable sign, which, you know, how you want, you know, whatever it is that you're talking about, so that I'll know what you want. Because I want to please you. And then he'll give you your sign. But you have to say an unmistakable sign, so I'll know it's not my mind. Because you don't want to be later on, well, was that really Krishna or was that my mind? So you have to tell him, make it an unmistakable sign. And I've said this to people, and they come back to me later, he gave me a sign. Krishna is there. He's real. He reciprocates. It's up to us to initiate the relationship. He's already begging on the pages of the Shastra, come back to me. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If you approach me with love, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give you the intelligence, yena mam upayanti te, so you can come to me. He wants you to come to him. Just approach with love. Make sure that's love. Unmotivated. Pure. Pure love is there in our heart. It's not something we don't know how to do. Take my mother, for example. She was not a devotee. She wasn't a vegetarian. She didn't know anything like that. But I was born in the war, during the war. And in London during those days, whenever the bombs were being dropped by the Germans, the sirens would go off and people would rush to the bomb shelters. But one sunny day afternoon, she took her little baby boy out in a pram walking in the park, and all of a sudden the sirens went off. She was far, far away from a bomb shelter. So what did she do? She threw her body on top of the pram. Save the life of her child. God has love. Okay? Everybody has love in their heart. You're willing to give up your life for someone you love. If you can do it for your kid, you can't do it for God?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So don't say, I can't do this or I can't do that. It's not true. You can approach Krishna with pure love. It's in your heart. And we're meant to do that. Unmotivated, pure. That's what we're meant to do. That's what the whole process is about. Bhakti yoga. It's not some mental thing that I speculate about. You're just moved by love. Like the gopis do, exactly.
The other thing is, one question came up because the question he asked about your eyes when you open them, and then he said, why? Does that mean if you open your eyes and you saw all the devotees here in the temple in front of Krishna and Mother dancing, did you then see Maya?
Well, what he said that I said it on Sunday, but I didn't say it on Sunday in the temple room. I said it on Sunday outside when I was. So in the temple room, you're not seeing Maya. But when I said that, I didn't say it in the temple room because I didn't speak. I just came in, did Hare Krishna Kirtan, said thank you and left. So when I was explaining that on a Sunday, it was outside when I was preaching to a yoga group. So, but when I do chant, I do close my eyes. Because when you're in the embrace of your beloved, you close your eyes. And when I chant Hare Krishna, to me, I'm in the embrace of Krishna, so I close my eyes. Because the Maha Mantra is Krishna. Okay? Any other points? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.